Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. It is time once again for America's Most Haunted. I'm Eric Olson. Thanks for joining us this evening. Tonight, cryptid hunter John Trapper Tice of Mountain Monsters. Mountain Monsters. Been watching that show. Starting to get the accent. On Destination America, with a distinctive landscape of dense woods, murky lakes, and hidden valleys stretching the length of the eastern U.S., the Appalachian region is a hotbed for creatures both legendary and as yet unidentified. Wolfman, devil dog, grassman, wampus beast, mothman, lizard demon. For generations, these mysterious monsters have spawned countless sightings in the 1,500-mile-long mountain chain. Now, in Destination America's new series, Mountain Monsters, Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, a band of hardcore hunters and trappers native to West Virginia and known as the Appalachian Investigators of Mysterious Sightings, AIMS for short, is at the ready to identify and snare these shadowy figures. It's amazing. Teresa, are you with us?
I am. I am here. Hello, Eric. Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good. Check and make sure we got audio. I'm not having any audio coming out of my computer here for the show.
You're not?
I got the chat room open. I'm not hearing any audio coming, so I don't know if anybody else is, if it's me or if it's the show. So I don't have anybody in the chat room yet, so let me try something else. But let's just keep talking and pretend everyone can hear us because it's most likely me.
Okay. Well, that is of concern. Hey, we should mention we went on a road trip, something we have done actually very few times considering we're writing a book together. But the third time we headed south. To just south of Cincinnati, and man, we had quite an afternoon and evening at Bobby Mackey's. It was an amazing thing.
Bobby Mackey's was amazing. It far, far, far went beyond my expectations. I went into it very skeptically, but with an open mind, and I was actually blown away. It was quite an incredible road trip, and we'll be writing all about it for the book, so... Absolutely amazing. We got pictures up on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AMHaunted. So go and check them out. Lots of good stuff coming up about Bobby Mackey's.
It was something. They were touching you all over. I went
yeah,
unmolested.
I was it's quite violated in a ghostly way, but it was very exciting.
I have not seen that look on your face before.
It's been a while.
You were startled. All right, well, we won't give it all away. Do we have John Trapper Tice with us this evening?
I'm here.
How are you doing?
Hello.
How are you all up north, huh?
Yeah,
yes.
We're way north.
Yeah,
no,
we've had some
far.
Bad storms here today, but it's okay.
God, yeah. I don't think we've had a day. I don't remember the last day we didn't have rain. I thought we were going to make it today, and then at about, 7 o'clock tonight maybe, a big old thunderstorm came through.
Yeah.
I'm squeezing in mowing the lawn whenever I can. I'm not even trying to let it dry out.
Well, that's my lawn just kind of goes what it is, and my flower, the deer have ate my flower beds. About a week ago, I come around the house, and there was a baby fawn asleep on my front porch.
Aww.
So I kind of live back in a little bit, but that's the way I like it.
Are you sure it was not a very small sheep squatch?
It could have been, but it looked like about an 8-pound little buck fawn.
Aww. That is...
I
it was
got him
Bambi.
Back with his brother.
It was Bambi.
Yeah.
So, gosh, I have, I think, 3 episodes taping tomorrow. I've had this just absolute perfect storm of idiocy in my DVR. But, man, I saw the Grassman episode, And that was crazy. What's with that picture? You guys really got a picture. I mean,
yeah,
it looked real
cool
to me.
Was excited about that. I got to see him a little bit, just a hair. I mean, when we was in that old house, I went down there and they had a kind of a confrontation on the other side. So I was clear across the house, but I was in the house, so it was hard to see. So I kind of slung myself out a window there, and I looked down downhill, and I just got a glimpse of his, like, left rear hip. As far as the hair and stuff on him, I would say it looks it's very similar to a Scottish Highlander cattle, if you've ever seen a Scottish Highlander before. It's kind of a reddish blonde. And now, this was just an instant, you know, that I got to see, but the picture was cool, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I mean, it really was, and that was a
Let me tell you how they didn't explain that. Let me tell you how he missed our trap.
That was exciting. Go ahead.
The guys were pushing him. Wild Bill and Willie, they are athletic as hell, and Buck. And now Buck's big, but don't you think he can't get her? He's like a state champion wrestler in West Virginia.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hoss. But anyway, they pushed him so hard. Now, there was a wee little flat along that creek, just about a walking path. And that's where he'd been traveling, okay? Well, they pushed him, and it was that big high point. Now, you get a picture of that point when Willie was digging the pit. You could see that point coming down there. They were pushing him so hard up that creek bed that he cut across that point instead of coming his normal route across. Well, when he came down into that little field where we had that trap dug, he didn't come down the right way. He didn't come down the way that his normal path, and he just missed the damn trap. But anyway, okay. if we catch one, we're going to turn him loose anyway. We're not going to hurt him. Most of your they don't bother anyone. Most of the time, we just get out there to people like to know that there's someone out there that can confirm what they've seen.
Well, I thought it was amazing, and I like the team, and of course, you know, you can tell a little bit that the rustic aspect is perhaps played up, you know, in the production and the editing and stuff. But you guys are sharp, you're smart, you know what you're doing. You certainly know the outdoors, you know the equipment. And you had a plan, and, you know, I've been watching Finding Bigfoot for decades, it seems, and they've never come nearly as close as you guys. I mean, it was amazing. At one point, one of the guys said, you know, he was only like 15 feet away, and you were catching glimpses of him, and you got the photograph. I mean, that really was amazing. That was an exciting about 10, 15 minutes there when you guys were – you know, after the trap was built and you were chasing them, that was amazing stuff. I was really impressed. I think that was the second episode, but I'm glad I saw that one first. It was outstanding.
Well, the Devil Dog episode last week was real good because we actually caught three dogs. But anyway, you know, 44 minutes of film and just a few days to do it in, we don't have... They don't go into a lot of detail, the research and stuff that Jeff and I do before we even go to a place. The first thing is through our Ames reports, we get gobs and gobs of gobs of sightings.
That's so, your website?
Yes. So we won't really look into one till we have three or four good sightings in one area, okay? Unless someone's just frantic or something. But anyway, then I go to Google Earth. We talk to them on the telephone, Jeff does, and gets their address, their physical address. We go to Google Earth, and then I can spot those sites on Google Earth, right? Then I can look the area over from sitting here at the house. Then I can start coordinating. I can see the hollows and everything. And all creatures, it don't matter if it's a deer or an elk or anything, and I've hunted all those, bear, some people says, well, I'm not a real hunter. Well, I got 7 deer in the Whitetail Hall of Fame in West Virginia, big bucks.
I'd say you are.
There's a nice black bear laying here on the rug for to lay on in front of the fireplace. There's a big mule deer over my head here and a big antelope to my right. So.
And your name is Trapper and all.
Yeah.
That had to
well,
come
we do
somewhere.
A lot of trapping. My nephew and I, last winter, I don't know how many coyotes and bobcats and raccoons and mink and stuff we caught last winter, but we do a lot of that too. But we do a lot of research beforehand, so we're not going in blind. And it's hard. I think it would be hard, and we call you folks, excuse me here, concrete people, and you all call us hillbillies. But it would be hard. It would be hard for me to track someone in downtown L.A., but it would be hard for someone in downtown L.A. to find me.
Well, heck
so,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, on that team there, there's probably, I don't know, I never added up, a couple hundred years of really, really a lot of hunting experience, a lot of woods experience. And that's, when I say woods experience, that's just where a leaf's turned wrong or this isn't right. But anyway, most creatures, whether it be a Bigfoot or a grass man, or even the devil dogs, I can pick up their trails almost instantly. And it's actually, you can see stuff that you actually can't put on camera. I mean, because the camera can't see it. You know, you look around the hill for, you're looking out there through 200 yards, and I see a leaf turned wrong here and one there, one there, one there. But it just takes a lot of experience and a lot of know-how.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, and it shows. And like I said, it's obvious. You know, right now we're in a TV atmosphere where the rustic, the southern, the not apparently sophisticated is what you know is being pushed. But obviously, you guys are extremely sophisticated, both in your knowledge, which, I mean, that's a lot of the appeal right there, is just the fact that you know so much more because of your experience and because of your, you know, powers of observation, plus the fact that you're doing all this research in advance. I mean, you guys are as sophisticated as it gets. You're using all the tools available to you. And, you know, there's a certain amount of humor to that. We interviewed the show, the guys from, a couple of the guys from the Deep South Paranormal. And, you know, kind of similarly, they were playing up the rustic side of it. But, you know, I mean, they're using all the tools. They have all the experience. They're all educated, mm-hmm. or many of them are educated. And so, you know, it's kind of ironic that they're kind of pushing the backwoods aspect of it, but you know that's where things are right now, I suppose. But anyway, I'm really interested. I mean, you kind of went into it to a certain extent. I'm really interested just hearing how did you get into the whole cryptid, you know, chasing mentality. How did Ames come to be? And we should tell people if they do have any reports or they're just interested. That they should go to the site, which is www.aimsa.org.
Yeah. Yeah, and report it, and Jeff will get those, and the good ones he'll push on to me.
So when
you talk about the highly educated, are you still
highly
there?
Highly educated, yes.
Yeah. I went to a one-room school with a pot-belly coal stove sitting in the middle of it for 6 years. Got a pretty good education.
My. Oh, my. Now, is that all of your formal education?
Oh, no. I was an honorable mention All-State football player at St. Mary's High School and here in Pleasants County, West Virginia. And then I went on to Ohio University for a year, but the Vietnam draft caught up with me. So I got to spend I spent 366. I had a leap year. That was my luck back then. I was a forward air controller with the 3rd Brigade, 25th Infantry Division, 67-68.
I figured you were somewhat more educated than the 6 years. I just had that impression.
Yeah.
Teresa, I have, as usual, been dominating. I'm sure you have some questions.
I have a lot of questions. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the show. I've got a DVR, but I've been so busy writing, I have not been able to see the show. Mm-hmm. So I hear now that you had a show about the Ohio Brassman, and I'm totally fascinated with it because, of course, we are from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So for myself and for any of our listeners who maybe haven't seen the show or maybe need a recap of the show, can you briefly tell us what happened in that episode? And were you in Ohio looking for him? Where exactly were you at on this episode? In our area?
It was southeast Ohio, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was southeast. We say Perry County, but let me tell you how I feel about that, okay? We had some landowners up there that invited us onto their property and a group of landowners and stuff. So I don't really like to say exactly where we were at or to pinpoint it because they'd just be overrun with people, and they're just very good people. They're just old country farmers and stuff. And we kind of give a general thing of Perry County, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
But the Ohio Grassman was a great investigation.
Well, you started with, was there a picture or was it just, I can't remember if there was an actual picture or was it just the experience of the guy who saw the Grassman in relationship to the, it was an outhouse, wasn't it?
No, it was a deer stand is what it was. He
okay.
was going out. It was in most creatures, animals or creatures, either one will move, let's say, the last 10 or 15 minutes of daylight, okay? Because they're nocturnal. I mean, 99% of all wildlife or wild creatures is nocturnal. You might see some deer out in the field when they're feeding in something, but they're nocturnal. They don't. That's why we do a lot of nighttime investigations. I mean, I try to find trails and stuff in initial investigation in the daytime, but they're nocturnal. So, but anyway, he was going out. He was trying to get a video of his of this big buck he was trying to kill, big whitetail, and there he was. Just and he had a very, very compelling video. One of the best I've ever seen. But that was the first time I got to meet that gentleman and you know we go on a lot of investigations and they're not very exciting, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, we find out that it was a black bear or a black Angus cow or the neighbors or you know, a lady one time bugged me for, and she knew me, so she bugged me for a long time, and hell, it was a raccoon getting her cat food off the back porch. You know, you know, it's, but that was an exciting, that was quite an adventure. We'll probably go back at some time in the future and do a little more quiet research there, you know. And a lot of times, maybe before the team will go in, I'll go in with one member and set up trail cameras, and we might take camera pictures for a month before anyone gets there, you know. Or throw out 50 pound of corn and put a camera on it, because everything has to eat. And food source is a real good place to start looking. Ever what it is, you have to figure out what their food source is first. If you can figure out what their food source is, I can run them down.
Right. It was.
I'm dying to see the episode. Yeah, I'm dying to see the episode. We're up in Cleveland, so it's a little more city than it is country up here. But mm-hmm. you know, people go out and people are spotted. I know down in southern Ohio and more towards the borders of Ohio, there's a lot more wilderness, a lot more camping. There's a lot more Bigfoot sightings and things of that nature. We just don't get out there that often. As much as I would love to, but now I'm dying to see the show. And when you come to a place like Ohio and you do an investigation, and you've done your research and you've got your team, who is it that decides what you're going to do? I mean, is this a team effort? Do the producers tell you what to do? Who's going for one? Or do you have like a wish list of investigations or
the producers are LA concrete people. I mean, so they can't tell us what to do because they don't know what to do. They follow the team's lead. And it's just like running a construction job, which I did for years. It don't matter if it's Buck, the loneliest person in the team, which we all have a hoot with, which is really Buck's just an outstanding, great young man. You have to weigh everyone's team opinion. And then go with the best opinion. And sometimes we'll go with my opinion, and maybe it's not the best opinion, and I made a mistake. But most of the time, I make the calls there.
So the producers are giving you pretty much free rein to carry on your investigations the way you see fit?
Yes. Yes.
That's excellent. That's good to know, because I know it's not always like that in the wonderful world of television, especially reality television. But that's good. And so do you get out to the other parts of the country? Are you located mostly here in the east or in the south? Or do you get out towards L.A., towards those, maybe not the cities, obviously, but some of the other places?
I understand what you're
saying. Dakota, Utah, places like that, California.
West Virginia as much as possible. But we've been up into the mountains of Pennsylvania and then in the North Carolina mountains. Clear down through the South, Virginia. We probably did over the last 5 or 6 years, probably 50 investigations.
Excellent.
And most of the time, we really find evidence. I mean, most of the time we do. It's we're keeping a lot of those in our hip pocket now for maybe future episodes, if Destination America likes us, you know. And America likes us.
Well, I said, with the one episode, it seemed like a really mature show already. You know, a lot of times the early episodes of any show just seem, it's a little less defined. It's kind of broad. You know, people are trying to kind of figure out what they're going to do with it. But you guys seem to really be a crack team already and obviously know what you're doing. No problem with the camera. Obviously, you guys are very comfortable and having a good time, but serious about the task at hand. So I think it's going to do really well. Frankly, I wish it was on a little, more broadly seen channel. I mean, I know they're new and growing, but I'd like to see the show move up to even more visible. Of the cryptids, for lack of a better word, the legendary and as yet unidentified creatures that are out there, which ones do you feel most comfortable believing to be real? I mean, I would imagine you guys are pretty sure about the grass man, the way you were as close as you were, and not only did you get the picture, but and various sightings, but you had tracks too.
Well, the devil dog is real for sure. Okay, this week we're after the Wampus Beast, and he's absolutely 100% sure. The Wampus Beast is.
And what is that?
Well,
I've never heard of that one. That's a new one for me.
Well, we would call that a Black Panther here in West Virginia, or a mountain lion type creature. The black, big black cats. But They're bad and they're mean and they're big and they're here.
Do you think any of these creatures are deadly? Any of these cryptids, any of these creatures that you go after, are any of them dangerous or deadly? I mean, are these things that people should maybe not be looking for as a hobby? Maybe they should be leery and stay away from them because they can be dangerous?
Well, the wampus beast, you should be. You got time for a little, just a little. Now, that's there in this Saturday night, and you'll get to see it. But I can tell you bit of thing happened to me during the wampus beast shooting.
Mm.
Within the backbone area of Pleasance County in West Virginia. It's my home county. And I'd worked my way, no cameraman, no sound man, no one with me. I'd worked my way down this. I was just doing some scouting. I don't know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And Willie had the crew back up on the hill someplace. And the main cast was up there, and I was out by myself. So I get way down in this, and this is really back country. I mean, I'm probably down in there half mile, three quarters mile. I was working around this old logging road. And I heard something, but it was, if you don't understand what a point, what we call a point is like from a ridge line down into the valley. It's like a ridge that runs down into the valley. That's what we call a point. And those are quite often, you work your way around points. And I was working down into the backbone area. And this son of a bitch squalled at me from the point over, about 200 yards away or something. So I squalled back. And it answered me. So that's not on film or that's not in the sound segments, but actually I shut up because the only thing I had was a .40 caliber Glock on me. And I didn't think I wanted to tie into this big black cat with a .40 caliber Glock in the middle of the night. But no, that's the only one that we've talked to. Now, there's devil dogs. Most creatures, whether it be Bigfoot or the high grass man or Mothman or lizard man, most of those are real seclusive. And we're the top of the food chain. They fear us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think people should be too worried about out there searching. Now, this time of year, we've stayed out of the woods now for probably a month or two because all creatures have young now. So we don't like to disturb the bears with their little ones, and a mama bear with baby bears is dangerous as hell. So I'm sure Mrs. Grassman or Mrs. Bigfoot, they probably only have young every 4 or 5 years or something, but little ones should be out there now, and we kind of stay out of the woods when all the creatures are having their young. And that's, that'd be May and June. But we'll get, actually, I checked 4 or 5 cameras this morning, and I'll check cameras now. And we run really the best cameras we can buy and set up on trails, and I can make those routes in about 4 or 5 hours out of my home here. Checking cameras, but no, I don't think, as you say, and what you don't want to do is never, ever, ever run. Never, ever run. Stand your ground, because it's just like a cat chasing a mouse. A damn mouse could, if he don't run, you're okay. But you have to realize they're all kind of predators, and when something runs from them, they go to an attack mode just immediately. But you just have to stand your ground. How's that?
That would be very hard to do if you were terrified.
Good door, girl. Stay right there. If you're pissing down your leg, stand your ground.
Hey, we have a call from another cryptid hunter friend of ours, actually, who's been on the show, Jody Cook, who's in the Cincinnati area. Do you know Trapper Tice, Jody? And welcome back, Jody, to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Jody.
Hey, how you doing? It's I almost dropped the phone there, guys. I was drinking too many wine coolers tonight.
Uh-oh.
Well, I had to make a choice whether coffee or moonshine tonight, and I decided on coffee, so I'd be
wired.
We never do moonshine in West Virginia. There's all kind of old stories of this. You know, I just came home the other day, and there was a quart of moonshine sitting on my porch. I have no idea where it came from. And
the moonshine fairy.
Yeah. So if you ask anyone in West Virginia where they got their moonshine from, it don't matter if it was made right across the hill here. We always tell you Kentucky. We always blame it on Kentucky. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you guys, Jody and John, if you've had any similar cases, because you're kind of covering the same terrain. I know Jody's more on the Ohio side, but you're really in pretty similar terrain and really quite similar interests. I remember you were telling us about a wolfman situation. Now, you have an episode, John, on your show coming up, right, about a wolfman?
Our first episode was on the Wolfman.
Oh, the first one. All right, so that's among the three that are taping tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you find?
Well, those episodes run together, so. But I believe we actually got. You haven't seen the Wolfman episode?
No, I missed the first one. Then I saw the Grassman. And then I got the two that are on back-to-back tomorrow taping. I don't know. Something happened where there were too many shows trying to tape Saturday. I'm not sure what happened. I haven't figured that out yet. But I got two back-to-back tomorrow, and I'm very excited about it.
Actually, we had we thought we was in the vicinity of the Wolfman. But actually, we had two, and we made a drop cage and had Daisy for bait. Daisy's a young goat, probably 30, 40 pounds, that we staked out there. We made a hell of a drop cage. It was Willie did a heck of a job on that drop cage, and they're all tree climbers and stuff. But anyway, what happened, we had it right in the mouth of two hollas. You know what a holla is, don't you?
I do.
Okay, good man. And and actually, we was after. Actually, we come into Wolf Men, and I think we had a pair. And we were trying to push. We was trying to come out of the right hand fork of this holla, and the darn thing, one came out the left hand fork of the holla, and that's the one we got the picture of. And it was a very poor picture, Jeff. What happened, Jeff set the camera up too close to the cage. And we set those cameras up close, even the trail cameras, because if you get the picture 30 or 40 foot away, you really can't see it. Well, what happened, he set it up pretty close anyway, and then it came down around that side just right in front of the camera. I remember the first picture I ever had of a black bear out here. Hell, I had a black screen. I couldn't figure out what it was. So a couple frames later, there he was. But I think you'll enjoy the Kentucky Wolfman. That was quite a chase.
Well,
it
sounds
Jody
like
came
it.
On, Jody came on and told us all sorts of stories, you know, about the Grassman, about these wild dog-like creatures. I mean, just incredible things I had never thought about it being in our home state. But I'm really curious, since Jody has written books and knows a lot about the Grassman, I was wondering how the two of you, if there's any difference in your views, or Jody, did you happen to see his episode? Did you see what he was doing with the Grassman? I mean, is this similar to things that you've encountered?
I saw the episode. You know, we kind of both do the same type of investigation, and things. He does it a little bit different than I do. I mean, you know, I don't go out with a gun and try to kill a thing or anything like that, or try to capture it and stuff. I mean, that, you know, a lot of, you know, people in the field don't do it because I don't think there's any particular reason trying to, you know, to go out and kill it without, you know, any reason. I mean, if you're trying to protect yourself, that's a different thing. But just trying to kill the species just to prove the existence, you know, I'm totally against that, you know. And things, and that's the only thing, you know, I really have an issue with, about the show is,
Jody,
you know, yeah.
Let me put you at ease. We're absolutely, I promise you, that we're not trying to, we will not absolutely kill anything. It's for the team's own protection, because we're always in black bear country, we're always in lion country, you know.
And I understand that, I respect that, but I mean, you know, yeah. You know, if you have a whole team of guys out there,
and the traps, the traps are, you know, I'm going to say, if you build 100 traps, and sometimes people don't even, we don't even have names for creatures that we go investigate, but that, you know, maybe I could catch one if I was there for a year. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you on that.
You can't build it. You can't use a big leg hold trap because you're going to hurt it. And we definitely don't want to hurt any of those creatures. 100% against that. I wouldn't
right.
hurt one of them for any
my,
amount
my
of money. Which I just wouldn't do it.
My main concern is...
I mean, if I endangered my life, turn it loose, I'll turn it loose.
Yeah, I mean, but my main concern is, you know, there are just so many of you out there, with firearms. You know, my main concern is that someone getting hurt. You know, I understand a lot of you guys are veterans. You know, I'm a combat veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. You know, and you know, a lot of us know how to handle weapons, but you know, shit happens.
Right.
Okay. And there are just too many people out there in the field with too many weapons. You know, I understand protection. Believe me, I came up, across black bears. I've been chased up trees by boars. I mean, the environment can kill you. I understand that. There's a lot of predators out there. You know, one, two guys with weapons, is that's enough for security. The rest of the people don't need it. But that's a different issue.
But Jeff never carries a weapon. He carries that infrared camera.
Yeah, but
I forget how
but,
much.
You know, when it comes to the the Ohio Grassman show, there's a few things like I it's like the video of the dare stand video. I've looked at that. I've looked at it on YouTube, and I really tore that video apart. I mean, really tore it. I mean, there's like three main things about that video to make me believe it's not real. Okay, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've written 5 books about the Grassman, and there's three, like I said, there's three main things that make me believe that I saw in this video that it's not real. One is that, the stride, the way it moves, it's not moving right. There's no arm movement whatsoever. When this thing is coming, even for a human or for a primate, when it's coming behind a building or coming around from a building where it's hiding, you're going to see arm movement. This thing, what you would see the arms moving, okay? The way this thing is thrived, the way it moves, okay, it's just too smooth. It's way too smooth. I know, that when these things move, they move at a glide, which is a lot different than, the way man walks, okay? I understand that. But, and there's a section in this video that I blew up, and I was able to get it perfect. When there's an opening between the deer stand and the bush and the tree line there, where when it right at the bottom where it's coming out, it comes to a perfect corner, right on the bottom, perfect corner. And that tells me whatever that thing is, it's mounted on a vehicle, and it's a vehicle that's behind there, and it comes around because of that one particular corner that comes to a perfect geometric corner on the bottom there, okay, shows that they're it's not right. There's just something not right about that, and, I'm not saying that, that this guy, who has the video is a hoaxer, but,
Okay, let me tell you what I see, okay? Now, I didn't try to break the video down. I seen the video on his camera there that day. And then we went right there, okay? Now, we rode side-by-sides out there, and that was on a real sharp high point. It was almost a point like a mound, the mound builders would build, but it was a natural point. It wasn't a mound.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and the grass around there was probably 3 or 4 foot tall. Jody, I swear to you, on my mother's grave, there wasn't a tar track. There hadn't been no kind of a side-by-side or anything up there at that deer stand.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you guys are, I mean, you know.
But there wasn't no tar tracks there.
I know,
I mean,
but
I'm
just
up in a heartbeat.
Right, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying at no time you guys are, you know, hoaxing or anything or not like that, because you know as well as I do, you know, you probably have been hoaxed before, I've been hoaxed before, you know, people have tried to pull the wool over our eyes, you know. And,
I can usually
pick
those up pretty quick. I'm an old hill boy.
And you can, and so can I, but, you know, one or two gets through, you know.
Right.
And things, you know, but, I mean, that was just the only thing, you know, that kind of really, you know,
the
really
only
got me.
I've ever seen that video was when he showed it to me there on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the episode ran a week or so ago. That's the only time that I ever seen that. Now, Jeff has a copy of it because he emailed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, I swear,
now,
there was no there couldn't have been a truck there or a side-by-side there. Because I'm telling you, this grass was, it was tremendous. It was like a broom grass or something.
Right.
It was,
well, you need to look at the video and really, you know, blow it up and look at it because, I mean, because I was able to and things. And because, like I said, you know, I just felt there were some things that wasn't right about it. And
uh-huh.
And you'll see what I'm talking about when it's, right at the back of it when it's coming, you know, when it's leaving the dare stand, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. There's a section there right on the bottom where it comes to a perfect geometric corner.
Okay.
You know, and things. But when
now
it comes
that deer
to
stand
where,
had braces on it and they were just kind of nailed rough
right.
And stuff.
Now to get back to the werewolf stuff, because I know Kentucky's very well known for a lot of the werewolf stuff that, you know, I mean, not just where you were particularly at, but, I mean, throughout the whole state, you know, has a lot of sightings. Ohio has a lot of them, too. Now, on the tracks that you found, did you guys make any castings of any of those tracks whatsoever?
No. No, I never have made a casting of a track. How do I explain this?
I mean, that's physical evidence. I mean, that I'm curious. I mean, because that's physical evidence, even though it's.
Let me tell you what. I have people that didn't know what we did that live a quarter mile from me. So we've always ran under the radar. We never publicized anything, and that's mm-hmm. where we get good witnesses that'll talk to us. And we're real. Till this came out, we've been so quiet. You've never seen anything on the internet about us. No one ever, hardly ever, you know, hit our AIMS website. So we've really tried to run under the radar. And the guys in the team know not to talk about it. It was just kind of our own little thing. And I think that's why we, through word of mouth, it's why we've got a lot of good sightings and good reports.
No, I was just curious because, like I said, there's, you know, some of the tracks that you had there, I was just wondering if you might have, you know, took any, you know, castings of any of the tracks, I mean, for your own personal, you know, use for yourself, I mean, for physical evidence proof, you know, and things, so... I was just kind of curious about.
I remember we had some pretty good tracks in the snow around that old house where his nest was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And being now the one video that the Turtle Man had, you really couldn't see. Maybe it's just because I've done a lot of stuff with the History Channel and the Sci-Fi Channel and the Learning Channel, you know. On cryptid stuff, and I know how television works and things. Now, with him, were they some part of that video that were because you only seen like part of the back of it? You know, did he?
Yeah,
not,
you could just see when he went by that red oak tree.
So he didn't get that.
He was like from the back
of
his neck down across his shoulder, if
okay.
I remember right.
So he didn't. He wasn't able to get the face of it.
No.
No, okay.
I don't remember seeing it. I mean, of course, I just seen it there on his camera that day. We were there, I don't know if Jeff has a copy of that or not. And then I recorded the episode, and I stopped it through there and looked at it. But
so what were some of your other what's some of your upcoming stuff you guys doing? I mean, are you guys gonna be doing anything like with the Mothman or the Jersey Devil type or anything like that?
Well, I think in 2 weeks we have a great episode on the Mothman.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because the Mothman is kind of the one that transcends lots of things, first of all. But, you know, region, it's one that kind of everyone knows. And it's not just, I mean, the great majority of people, I know there's people who have other theories, but, you know, most people assume that Bigfoot, Grassman, Yeti, that type of creature is, in fact, some sort of creature, and it's likely some ape derivative of some sort. And the devil dog, obviously, is a dog, and so on and so forth. I'm not sure what the Wolfman is, but the Mothman now you get into a lot of paranormal, at least implications of it. Certainly, the movie and the stories that have come out. You know, what is this thing? Is it a portent of disaster? It's, you know, so on and so forth. So, for that reason, it's different from the cryptids that may or may not exist. But if they do, they're just an animal. So I'm really curious as to actually both of, you know, what your thoughts are on the Mothman. I mean, and if it exists, you know, what could it possibly be?
Well, let me tell you a little story that happened after just about 3 weeks ago. We have a little country musical thing down here we call Waverly Woodstock. And I didn't go to the real Woodstock. That was one of my disappointments in life. It's called Waverly Woodstock, and it's just country bands playing, and we sit around lawn chairs and drink beer and listen to music all night, right? So a real good pipe fitter friend of mine came up to me, and he said, "John, have you did anything on Mothman?" I said, "Yeah, we did. We did an episode on Mothman down in Mason County, West Virginia." He said, "Let me tell you what." And I forget how many years ago he told me it was, or a few years ago or something. I don't really recollect the time right here and now. And this pipe fitter, I've known this guy, well, he lives 5 miles from me, and I was a Union Boilermaker, so we've known each other forever, okay? It's like Willie. I've known Willie since he was a pup. But anyway, he said he was working at DuPont below Parkersburg. Now, that'd be in Wood County, West Virginia, close to Washington, on the Ohio River, above Point Pleasance in Mason County, where most of the sightings have been. He said 3 reputable pipe fitters absolutely seen the Mothman land on one of the towers in that chemical plant one evening. Absolutely would swear to it. And I believe them. I believe them. You can't disrespect honest people's opinion. You know, when someone says, "Well, this creature don't exist, Trapper," well, I said, "Prove to me that it don't." You know, I go out there trying to prove that it does exist. But I said, if you don't believe me, that's your opinion. But you prove to me that it don't, and that'll kind of put them on the spot.
Yeah, it's hard to prove.
You understand what I'm saying? Proof
sure.
to me, you know. I got proof this exists and this exists and this exists, you know. Prove to me. Show me, you know. But anyway, we should do something together sometime.
Oh, definitely. And so, because you're not that far, you know, from me. I mean, West Virginia.
You know where Marietta, Ohio is?
Yeah.
I'm 17 miles above Marietta and just jump across the river and out in the country.
Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
And it's because, like you said, I go to West Virginia a lot. I've done a couple conferences over there, and I work with a couple people over there on some, you know, things. I mean, you know, now with the Mothman stuff, I mean, I just heard, like, the Department of Homeland Security, you know, sent, I think it was Jeff Walmsley, the guy that handles the Mothman stuff down there, telling them, you know, not to send anybody out to the domes, any, you know, back out to that area, you know, which I think is kind of crazy. You know, for some reason, you know, they don't want anybody back there, you know, and why would the Homeland Security be, you know, telling
right.
them not to, you know, not to go back there? You know, there, I mean, there's something definitely going on back there. I mean, what the Mothman is, it's just, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say, you know, there's so many different cryptids, you know. I mean, here in Cincinnati, you know, we got a little suburb called, well, it's kind of a large suburb called Loveland, and they've got this creature down here along the little Miami River called the Loveland Frogman, and it's about 5 feet, and it's like a, looks like a very large frog, but it's more, you know, walks on two legs and stuff, and you know, people have seen it. Two of the Loveland police officers actually shot at the thing, you know, so it's you know, it's crazy that this guy built a castle called the Loveland Castle out of milk cartons.
Amazing.
And he, you know, stated that, you know, he would see this thing all the time. It would watch him build this castle,
uh-huh.
you know, and stuff. So, I mean, there are just so many cryptids. I mean, this world we live in is very, very strange. And
let me tell you how the world is going, though. Let me tell you. I'll just tell you a real short story. I was raised up on a creek named Sugar Creek in Pleasant County, West Virginia. Now, from the mouth of Sugar Creek, where it hits Middle Island Creek, probably to what runs up in Tyler County, probably 5 or 6 miles. When I was a kid, there was 300 mama cows at different farms on that creek. Today, there's 15. We're growing up. We're not expanding American farmland in the hills. Now, maybe they are in Iowa, but they're not in the hills. Those little farms have been left. The fields are growing up. They're in timber. They're in brush. So we're actually making a lot more territory for our cryptid friends.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
A family farm, a little family farm, is a thing of the past, you know. Now, there might be a guy down here who has 4 acres that calls it a farm, but, you know, my family farm's been in the family since 1820. You know, we're going to be a 200-year-old farm here pretty soon. But a family farm is a thing of the past because you got to do it. You got to farm for the love of it because you're sure in heck not going to make any money, you know.
No,
but we're growing.
No,
the country's growing up. I think West Virginia now is like 87.5% timber ground. I think only Maine, maybe in New Hampshire, have us beat in amount of timber ground. So
there's a lot.
Southeastern Ohio is the same way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So there's a lot more cover. There's a lot more places to hide. There's not near. There's not 10% of the hunters in the woods today that there was 30 years ago. You know. Now, a lot of things that has happened, there's a lot of game cameras running now, so we might get, but most of these people don't like to come forward, you know, especially hunters don't, you know. I guarantee you, you'll never talk to an old coon hunter that something out there at night he didn't understand or he heard that scared him. And if you can drink a cup of coffee or a couple of shots of moonshine with him, he might tell you that story. You know?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you can talk to a group of people or tell a group of people, you know, you talk about Bigfoot, werewolves, or whatever, and they may sit there and laugh about it and giggle, but I guarantee you when they get you alone, they're going to tell you about their experience or experience of a family member or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's normally how it is. I mean, most of my stuff, I get a lot of stuff from hunters, you know, that talk about the stuff that they've seen, you know, and things that they have heard, you know, out in the field and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, thank God for the internet, you know, other than the government spying on you. But, I mean, you can get a really lot of good information, you know, that way. Facebook is another thing, you know, and stuff. And you know, people are starting to open up a lot more about a lot of the crypto stuff that's out there. But, listen, I'm going to let Trapper finish his show here.
Teresa, good talking to you.
You too. Teresa, it will give you my contact information if you want to get in contact with me sometime and things. But,
Mountain Monsters has a Facebook page now. Check into it. And,
I definitely will.
Okay, do that.
I definitely look into that. I seen your website. You guys got a great website, too. I looked at that.
Okay.
And stuff.
Appreciate it.
Right.
Appreciate you joining us tonight.
All right, you too, brother. Take care.
And good hunting.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling in, Jody. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again. That just added a whole new dimension to the show. That's amazing to hear you two go back and forth about that. That's awesome. I am so psyched now to watch these episodes, and I'm sure our listeners cannot wait to see these episodes and to go over the reruns again.
Well, the thing of it is, we're funny, you know, and sometimes...
Yeah, you are.
And sometimes I do funny things to calm my crew down. You know what I mean? So when things get tense, sometimes I'll funny it up a little bit, and it kind of relieves the tension. You know, because we get in some hairy situations, you know.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with the point of view that Jody was talking about as far as the weapons and whatnot, but it was a tense moment because, but in terms of, there seemed to be a lot of people brandishing weapons kind of facing at each other, but I heard at least a few times there was really a point made of saying, watch the crossfire.
Uh-huh.
So that really relieved me, you know, that you guys were that aware of
all
it. Yeah, obviously. And as far as being armed, I've never understood these shows where people are running around with any number of things that can kill you, and they're pretending to be, anyway, unarmed. That just seems irresponsible, you know? I mean, seriously, it does. I would be armed.
Maybe they haven't
something.
Been out there as much as I've been.
I mean, my God, you know, it's
I'm
a
armed when I just
world.
Go check my cameras. I'll be armed when I go check my cameras in the morning.
I go out with a knife, and that's all I carry when I go out to the field. You know, you know, I have a weapon in my. I'll keep a weapon in my car.
Black
you
bears
know.
In this part of the country. And you know what you do when under a black bear attack? You have to fight for your life because that son of a bitch will kill you and eat
kill you.
You.
Yeah.
Now a brown bear or a grizzly bear, you can just play possum. And he'll drag you over there and bury you and go off for you to rot and you can escape. But a black bear, you got to fight for your life.
Yeah.
You.
And boars are the same thing. I mean, they'll sit at a bottom of the tree while they chase up there, and they'll sit there for hours. You know, you'll tire out.
Dirty, but I killed one at 7 foot one time with a pistol.
Yeah.
Brain shot, dead. Dropped him dead right in his tracks at 7 feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So before we run out of time, I am very curious, John, what do you think, since it sounds like you're not questioning the existence, what do you think the Mothman is? You know, what could its origins be? And is it purely just some form of animal, or is there a paranormal aspect to it? In your opinion, just purely what you think.
Well, this is going to sound crazy, but... it almost virtually has to be some kind of a mutant. I mean, and Jeff's always on that, and we laugh our ass off. He always asks those witnesses, is there a chemical plant close around here? And we always give him the look, you know what I mean? You know, maybe sometimes someone sees a great horned owl or a whooping crane or, and don't understand what they've seen. And I've seen things that's just in the flash of the pants, but it's a week from Saturday, tune in.
I will.
Definitely will. And I'm not missing another episode, that's for sure.
Hey,
John,
I enjoyed talking with y'all.
Yeah, it's been great.
You
let me
too.
Ask you one more question. Let me ask one quick question before anybody hangs up and goes here. The cryptids is fascinating. The Bigfoot, the Ohio Grassman, the Mothman, those are kind of close in proximity to where we live, so those are very interesting as well. But do you, John Trapper, do you believe in ghosts?
Ha ha! Yes, I do.
I remember you told me last week you had a good ghost story for us. Why don't you
I do.
Tell us.
When I first moved to this farm, I moved into a 150-year-old farmhouse I was just out of the war, so I was kind of on edge anyway, you know. And so I actually had not very much furniture in it or anything. And my gosh, both my grandparents had died there. My aunt and uncle had died there. My great-grandfather died in that house. Oh, it'd get hilarious. Cabinet doors would open and close and stuff. But, you know, it really never bothered me, because my aunt and uncle and my grandparents, my grandfather dearly loved me. So I knew I was in no danger. But I'm telling you, friends, it really got kind of funny, you know. it'd be funny sitting in the kitchen playing cards and the cabinet doors would open. So
funny or terrifying, you know.
Well, it was kind of funny for me because I was used to it. And as I said, I knew no one that died in that house. They all loved me, you know, and was relatives to me. And it was funny to see the expression on my friend's face or when we were playing cards and stuff. Hey, tell the people to check out our Facebook page, Mountain Monsters. I'm going to check for the next hour and see how many likes we get.
There you go.
Cool.
Tell them where to find you, Facebook and your website. What's your website?
Appalachian Investigators of Mysterious Sightings. If you have a mysterious sighting, report it, and you can't tell, Trapper may show up on your porch.
Especially if you leave a jug of moonshine out.
Yeah, there you go.
and is the Facebook page just Mountain Monsters? Is that the name of
it? Yeah,
I
think
it's
just Mountain Monsters TV show.
Okay.
It's only a couple days old, so.
Yeah, go and check that out. I imagine you guys will be putting up some cool info there, maybe some pictures and whatnot. The website address is aimsa.org. aimsa.org. And if you have sightings in that general vicinity of kind of northern West Virginia?
It's down in Appalachia. You know, it could be from northern Pennsylvania, clear down North Carolina, North Georgia, you know.
The mountains. That
yeah, the mountains.
Where they are.
Uh-huh. There you go.
What is it about the mountains? Is it just the rough terrain and the coverage?
Oh, yeah,
is
no one's out there anymore, you know. And I think actually a lot of the creatures, if we have a bad winter, I think they migrate south, because sightings south of us will come up more like in January, February. We'll get a lot more sightings down in Virginia and North Carolina than we do in Pennsylvania and northern West Virginia. So I think there's a migration there, too.
Interesting.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's plenty left to talk about. I didn't really get into my standard line of questioning of, you know, a couple of your absolutely most intense, crazy experiences. Apart from the show, of course, which we can see.
Oh,
we'll do that next time. Well, good luck with the show. I think it's great, and you're obviously have all kinds of personality and experience, and you know what you're doing, and you know how to lead a team. You know, you're clearly a natural leader, and I can't wait to see just the rest of this first season. I think there's 6 episodes total, right?
Yeah.
And very much hope that it carries on and it catches on with people, because it's really interesting. It's a little bit different angle, you know. You have your own perspective on things, and I think people can really learn a lot. People are interested in the topic. They learn a lot about just kind of some of the basic stuff, that, you know, how do you trap, how you track, just, you know, woods lore, just basic things that anyone can use. That's always part of the appeal.
If I can pass some of my knowledge of the woods and hunting and trapping onto a younger generation, I've accomplished something in my life.
Absolutely. And I think there's no doubt that that you are doing just that. So great pleasure speaking with you. Best of luck with the show and all of your activities, and we would love to talk to you again a little bit down the line.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And definitely I can send you Jody's contact information. I would love to hear the two of you collaborate on something and hear what you can come up with, especially with something like the Ohio Grassman. And we'd love to have you back on the show. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fascinating evening. Everyone, check out their website, check out their Facebook page, and make sure you watch the show, Destination America, on Saturday nights at 10. Is that correct?
That's it.
Yes.
That's it. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
And,
enjoy.
And it reruns on Wednesdays, too. We should say that. Because that's what I'm taping tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, John. Thank you, Teresa. Have a great week, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.